The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the guardian of truth and sanity in a world saturated in lies and deception. I want to begin today's show with a couple of emails coming in response to recent programs. This one here from California says, I have a comment about your topic on Friday about the news media's never-before-seen suppression of the truth. As you have well said, the greatest con in human history is coming from the devil, and I can see how God is allowing this all to unfold for America's next curse, the Great Civil War. And he goes on to explain a scenario that could lead to Ezekiel 4 and 5. We know it's prophesied to happen, and you see this great cover-up. You see this world, you see our nations, the nations of Israel, you see the United States covered in thick darkness. There's no truth in the land. No truth. Another listener writes from Florida. It says, thanks for the fabulous TD today on the Dominion voting machine debacle. I was remarking to my wife that the Trumpet is truly the only news source now that we can trust, especially with the demise of Fox. I told her that when I was a kid growing up during the Cold War, the U.S. had radio-free Europe to get news to those behind the Iron Curtain. It was well known that Russia only spewed out propaganda to their citizens, and the U.S. was a beacon of truth for those people. That was back when nations were just hanging on every report coming from the United States because they knew it was true. They knew it would be fair. They knew it would be balanced. It says, a darkness truly has descended on the United States. An almost complete media blackout of truth. I now know what it was like to live behind the Iron Curtain back when I was young. We're getting a little bit of a taste of it. Think about all those prophecies from Herbert Armstrong for decades, going back to the 50s and 60s, speaking of the communist infiltration. Well, it's here. They have infiltrated the United States. They've taken over academia. They've taken over the media. They've taken over big tech. They've taken over big corporations in so many ways. They've certainly taken over the Democrat Party. They have a stranglehold on the radical left. On Friday, I talked about Jesus coming into this world of darkness. He was a light. You can see that in John 1 and in John 3 and verse 19. It says that the light came into this world, but how did mankind respond to it? Well, it says men love darkness rather than light. We love darkness because, as the next couple of verses bring out, we can carry out our evil deeds under the cover of darkness. So much of the corruption, the evil, the lying, the stealing, and the cheating. Even in the recent U.S. election, it happened literally at night. It happened after things were shut down and locked up. As one listener said, if the DHS wants to come out and say this was the most secure election in history, well, it certainly was secure those few hours when they bolted everything down, and then the ones cheating rolled up their sleeves and got to work. Oh, yes. Kick out the observers, the poll watchers, and then carry out the fraud. In 2 Corinthians 11, I referred just at the end of yesterday's show to that passage that refers to the devil as an angel. He comes as a perfect angel. And yet, let me emphasize something else from this passage. This is 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And then verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Satan transforms himself into an angelic being that's just giving off all of this beautiful light. And it's exactly the opposite. He presides over a world in thick darkness. And it just gets worse, as is prophesied in Isaiah 59 and elsewhere. The truth cast to the ground and buried. He comes as an angel of light. And that's his great deception. He's convinced this world that we're actually, spiritually speaking, that we're actually dwelling in the light. And it's not that way at all. Verse 15 continues saying, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." So he's got his ministers, his co-workers, his laborers. He's got his theologians. He's got his academics. He's got his spokespeople. And they come out with smooth-sounding words. Like you heard at the end of yesterday's show, my father wrote in the Last Hour book, he said, "It's so easy to get seduced by words." It's so easy to be seduced by smooth-sounding words. Isaiah 30 comes to mind. Here again, we want to hear smooth things. We want to hear a nice message. Listen to the smooth words of this reporter at 60 Minutes. This is from the Sunday night interview with Barack Obama. The reporter's name is Scott Pelley. Here's clip 8.
Mr. Obama is speaking after 4 years of virtual silence on Donald Trump. He followed a traditional commandment largely observed since Adam succeeded Washington. Thou shalt not criticize your successor.
For 4 years, he said, well, nothing, I guess, about Donald Trump. Silence is the word that he used. And he also used the word commandment. Mr. Obama, he followed the traditional commandment of not criticizing his successor. Now, I played the clip from Obama himself. I'll play it again for you. This was the one I used right at the end of yesterday's show. But here is Obama talking about how he, with respect to politics, he basically lived by the golden rule. Clip 9.
I consistently tried to treat my political opposition in the ways I'd want to be treated. I understand why there were times where my supporters wanted me to be more pugilistic, to, you know, pop folks in the head and duke it out a little bit more.
Was it a mistake that you didn't?
So that's the president, the former president, who tried to frame Donald Trump in order to overturn the 2016 election. And for sure, he has some sycophants that come right out into your face, more so than he does with his words. But this is a man who has no problem destroying people, suppressing the truth, putting journalists in jail, firing drones into parties in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. He has no problem working with a pen and a phone if Congress won't bow before him. I won't go through all the history. We touched on some of it yesterday. But he tried to treat his political opposition just the way he would want to be treated. Now, we didn't have time for this montage, but here's a sampling. The reporter, remember, says that For 4 years, it was virtual silence. For 4 years, nothing. Because he obeyed the commandment, thou shalt not criticize your successor. Here are some of the things that he said over the 4 years of the Trump presidency, clip 10.
They're undermining our alliances, cozying up to Russia. To say that we do not pressure the Attorney General or the FBI to use the criminal justice system as a cudgel to punish our political opponents. Be Democratic or Republican to say that we don't threaten the freedom of the press. One of those functions should be making sure nearly 3,000 Americans don't die in a hurricane and its aftermath. The fact is that if we don't step up, things can get worse. We have a chance to restore some sanity in our politics.
We've seen basic norms and principles that have served us well for decades increasingly violated.
So when you hear all this talk about economic miracles right now, remember who started it. Unlike some, I actually try to state facts. In Washington, they have racked up enough indictments to field a football team.
Politicians just blatantly, repeatedly, baldly, shamelessly lying.
I didn't have anybody in my administration get indicted. I just thought that's how you're supposed to do things.
We are still confused, blind, shrouded with hate, anger, racism, mommy issues.
It has been an absolute chaotic disaster.
Because one thing everybody has learned by now is that the Republicans occupying the White House and running the U.S. Senate are not interested in progress. They're interested in power.
This pandemic has fully, finally torn back the curtain on the idea that so many of the folks in charge know what they're doing.
I did hope, for the sake of our country, that Donald Trump might show some interest in taking the job seriously. For close to 4 years now, he has shown no interest in putting in the work. Donald Trump hasn't grown into the job because he can't. This administration has shown it will tear our democracy down if that's what it takes for them to win.
He hasn't shown any interest in doing the work or helping anybody but himself and his friends.
That's just a little sampling of the last 4 years. Now, just think for a moment. Think for a moment. If anyone has been silent or was silent for the most part during the 8 years of Obama and then even the 4 years of Donald Trump, you go back before Obama and you hardly hear from George W. Bush. Now, I don't want to say, you know, never or that it's silence, because somebody out there, I suppose, can go back and look for clips here and there. But what if, just imagine, from the years 2008 to 2016, if George W. Bush would have come out and said that Obama shamelessly lied. He is a liar. He is tearing down democracy. Barack Obama is power hungry. He's not really working to do the will of the people. It's all about himself. He's undermining our allies. He's cozying up to Russia. He may be a Russian agent. He's using the DOJ to bash his political enemies. And look at how he responded to natural disasters. He caused 3,000 deaths. He's responsible for the chaos that I'm here to tell you about. If George W. Bush had said any of that during the 8 years of Obama, you think Scott Pelley would have let him get away with it? Of course not. Of course not. Obama says all those things, and what do they say right at the end of it all? He was silent. He didn't even say anything. In fact, some of his supporters thought he should have been more contentious, thought he should have been more critical. How do you get more critical than what we've seen the last 4 years? Trying to frame your political opponent, using the DOJ as a cudgel. Oh, yes. You talk about undermining the presidency. He says, with a few nice-sounding words, in an interview, I consistently tried to treat my political opposition in the ways I'd want to be treated. That is an angel of light. The spirit behind him, it's an angel of light. Look, all I've ever done is treated people with love and respect. You think about other comments from Nancy Pelosi or others from time to time, how much they pray and they pray for the president. Jesus said, judge by the fruits. Look at their actions. Look at what they're doing. Now, in this 60 Minutes interview, Scott Pelley did acknowledge to Obama that, you know, you have to admit, Donald Trump, he's by the end of the counting, he's going to pull in something like 10 million more votes than he did in 2016. So what does that mean? How do you explain this kind of division? You've got that many people throwing their support behind Donald Trump, and probably a lot more if you take away the fraud. In any event, he brings up the division in the United States, and this is what Barack Obama said in response. Clip 7.
I think we're going to have to work with the media and with the tech companies to find ways to inform the public better about the issues and to bolster the standards that ensure we can separate truth from fiction.
So he's saying this right as there's this media-wide blackout of the truth regarding the election on November 3rd. He's asked about the division in the country, and he says, look, I think we've got to work with the media to help them to inform the American people more, to inform them better, to make sure they're separating truth from fiction. In other words, we've got to blot out the truth entirely. You look at what's happening with big tech. Look at the media as it is right now. In his mind, it's not nearly enough. We've got to go all the way. You've got to get rid of any kind of dissenting voice. And then finally, this is the way they think, then finally, we'll have unity. Then finally, everyone will think the same way. You get a tyrannical government at the top. You impose your will on the people. You eliminate the dissenting voices. And then we can all come together. Well, that's happening. That's happening. But for him, it's not happening fast enough or enough. It's not. There's not enough of it happening. The censorship, the blotting out. There was a story a couple of days ago about Conservative Treehouse. Great little website for conservative commentary. And you know about the major media. You know about, it's worse than fake. It's worse than bias. There's a corruption there. There's a sickness there. And then you know about big tech, social media, Facebook, Twitter, and why a lot of people are fleeing to Parler and Rumble because of the censorship. Well, the platform that hosts the Conservative Treehouse is called WordPress, which a lot of people are familiar with. If you've ever started a blog, you probably did it on WordPress. WordPress just told the Conservative Treehouse that they're going to deplatform the site. In other words, you can't build your website on our platform any longer. You're off. It's like YouTube banning a channel, saying we don't like the content. Conservative Treehouse said many people are rightly alarmed by this move by WordPress, because over the course of 10 years, there has never been any previous contact about any violation of any terms, nor in any specific violation noted, nor is any specific violation noted in the reply. I mean, so he contested it. WordPress responded back, and there's no violations there. They just want him out. So Conservative Treehouse is looking for a new home. I saw a tweet by Carolyn Glick. She says her website is hosted by WordPress. And so she's looking for another platform too. She doesn't want to get kicked off when she's unprepared for it. These are just tiny, tiny examples, as I say. Then you look at the big deceit, the big deception, the major media, and the way that they're living in this alternate reality regarding the recent election. The story that they're telling, the way they treat the so-called president-elect, the fake president, they're treating him like he's the president already. And yesterday, of course, he's there saying that, well, Donald Trump's the problem. What's the clip where he says about COVID that the president's killing people, if you can play that.
You spoke about the need to access the outgoing administration's COVID vaccine distribution plans. What do you see as the biggest threat to your transition right now, given President Trump's unprecedented attempt to obstruct and delay a smooth transfer of power?
More people may die.
That's Vice President Biden. I love the reporter, too, just really laying emphasis on the unprecedented attempt to obstruct. What's your take on this? Well, more people are going to die because of this man. Because he's not letting me get in there and operate like I'm president. The media have spoken. The media have spoken. Here they are living in this alternate reality. It's over. The election is over. We've moved on. Listen, somebody at DHS reported that it was the most secure election in history. Well, what about some of the reports from Democrats just 12 months ago about election security and fraud? Never mind, never mind. Just move on. This one, okay, 2016 was rigged by the Russians. This one was perfect. This one was perfect. That's what they're out there saying. And meanwhile, the Trump team is accumulating evidence, loads of it. And when they do have to get into it, and that's not often, they try to discredit it. The UPS or the Postal Service whistleblower, the one that came forward in Pennsylvania saying that his supervisor told him to backdate those ballots. The government sent, I think it was two individuals from high up in the USPS to grill this man, to try to get him to backtrack or to recant his statement. And the Washington Post then took whatever happened there and said, hey, he's recanted. He's recanted. And then the Congressional Oversight Committee, they came out and said the same thing. They try to destroy the whistleblower's story when it's someone that's not on their side. You know, if it's someone helping to impeach the president, then they protect the whistleblower. He is to be protected and he is to be believed. Bottom line, no questions asked. He certainly can't be cross-examined during the impeachment proceedings. In this case, though, they go after this guy. They apply pressure. They try to get him to back away from his statement. And then after the Washington Post reports on it and says, he recanted, you see? You don't have the whistleblower. No evidence, just like we've been saying. And then this whistleblower has to come out and say, look, I didn't recant my statement. I stand by my statement. I mean, this goes on all the time as they try to smother the truth. Thick darkness. The DHS, most secure election in American history. Well, just yesterday there was a story about a county in Georgia that somehow didn't count 3,000 votes. Whoops. Made a mistake. I guess they're going to try to get them counted now in the recount. Just discovered it. Clark County, Nevada. There's a county in, that's the county, I believe, Las Vegas, right? It's a big county where they've had a lot of the fraud on the national level. There was a lower level election there where the results came down to something like 10 votes. And then President Trump tweeted about it, I think, yesterday, In any event, they're calling for a runoff election because of all of these irregularities. The county, and this is the reason why the president tweeted about this yesterday or the day before, is because it was on the presidential ballot. It was down ballot. And the county has admitted to finding tons of irregularities, double votes, unregistered voters. And so they're saying, look, it was so close, let's just have another election. Let's just do it over. Now, on the national level, everything was perfect, right? Perfect. No, not one vote, says the DHS. Somebody at the DHS, somebody who should be fired, as Sidney Powell has said. Not one vote. Everything was perfect. They can run a revote or a runoff at the lower level, but certainly not with respect to Donald Trump. He lost. He lost in a almost a landslide, just looking at the electoral votes. He lost by millions and millions in the popular vote. Well, as they live in this alternate reality, as I say, you have the Trump campaign out there accumulating a load of evidence. And all of this litigation, and some have said, because they've had some trouble. I mean, some of Trump's lawyers have been harassed and doxxed and have quit because of it. And the left keeps making a big deal of it, that these cases are being laughed at, that the lawyers are quitting. Well, not all of them. Not all of them. This was Kayleigh McEnany last week. This is the president's spokesperson, clip 12.
Yeah, but what we saw here, and we have the evidence to prove it, is this. There was one system for Democrat counties. There was another system for Republican counties. You had the courts in Pennsylvania saying there's no way to fix your mail-in ballot in advance. Except, as we have now found out, in seven Democrat counties. We have text messages that I've provided your producers, emails that are in our affidavits sworn that show that Democrat voters were being contacted, in some cases by Democrat campaigns. And they could have been, it was voters in the Democrat counties that were contacted saying, your ballot's been canceled, you need to come fix it. Whereas we have other affidavits of people in Republican-leaning counties who say, tonight I voted for 15 years absent. I went to go turn in my ballot and was informed after the election it was canceled with no opportunity to fix it in advance. This is an equal protection violation. And Sean, let me add one more thing that's a new part of our filing tonight. It's this, that we believe in the counting process, that ballots without signatures, dates, and addresses, which are required by law, were counted in some Democrat counties, but not in some Republican counties. This would amount to potentially tens of thousands of ballots that were counted improperly, and we must look into this.
So that was her. I think that was last Thursday or something. But in any event, she on equal protection alone, just on that alone, that was brought up back in the Bush versus Gore case in 2000. Treating Democrats one way, but Republican leaning counties another way. On that alone, it could be tossed. Or just the fact that Republican poll watchers weren't able to observe the counts for 700,000 votes. On that alone, it could be tossed. The media, though, they are not interested. They will not even go there. And if a whistleblower comes forward, they try to shred him to pieces. They try to discredit him immediately. The president needs to concede. He needs to do this for the good of the country. If he doesn't concede, he is undermining the American democracy. You know what undermines the American democracy more than a concession speech? More than surrendering to your political opponent? Stealing an election. That pretty well undermines democracy. You steal it. And in some cases, it wasn't even under the cover of darkness. That's what Sidney Powell has been out there exposing. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They're scrubbing it. They're scrubbing it from Facebook. They're deleting it from LinkedIn. They're deleting articles even. You start going down that road, that is blackout territory. Listen to Rudy Giuliani from last week as well, clip 13.
This was a stolen election, Lou. I know the phony elites don't want to hear it, but this was a stolen election.
They don't want to hear it. They don't want to look into it. They don't want to even consider it. But it was stolen. Now, I mentioned Sidney Powell. She's like a one-person wrecking ball right now. And at least there are a few. I gave you some of the clips yesterday. You've got Maria Bartiromo on the Fox News Sunday, or Fox Features, something like that. You've got Lou Dobbs. He's on the Fox Business Network. And then yesterday, Sidney Powell she's interviewed by Mark Stein on Rush Limbaugh's show. And then she's interviewed again last night on Lou Dobbs. And then also on Mark Levin's radio show. So these few people that will listen to it, that will consider it, they do reach millions, tens of millions of ordinary Americans. So that's why you have hundreds of thousands turning out in support of Donald Trump on Saturday night. Well, really, it was through the day Saturday. And then Antifa comes out. Antifa comes out and starts beating people up at night. And what does the media do? Which clip is that? Play that one, the Newsbusters clip, if you have it.
Still, President Trump's baseless claims of fraud are fueling his supporters.
Fraud, more, yes!
Mr. Trump rode through the crowds as thousands marched through the streets of Washington, D.C. on Saturday.
We are the majority.
While the protests were largely peaceful, as the night wore on, fights broke out between Trump supporters and counter-protesters. D.C. police made 21 arrests, and 4 police officers were injured while responding to the clashes.
All of it following violent clashes in the nation's capital over the election results. Trump supporters rejecting the outcome of the race, echoing the president's false claims of fraud. More than 20 people were arrested in what started as relatively peaceful demonstrations, with thousands rallying for President Trump.
Now, if you're listening to that, and most half the nation gets the mainstream news, they get their news from outlets like that, and what would you think? Fights broke out. Trump's false claims. That started out peaceful, but then it led to some clashes. Trump supporters were attacked. And several of them, dozens of them, on video, wives, children, crying, an old man, sucker punched from behind, falling on the ground unconscious. Fights broke out. This is the way they report it. You can't walk through Antifa with a Trump hat on. It's another one of those mostly peaceful. The riots showed up at night, and they went on the attack. Now, the media take that same attitude and approach, that same spirit, as they just try to blot it out. Well, there's a lot of people that are listening, at least, to those few sources. Sidney Powell was on there last night. She told Lou Dobbs this. She told this to Mark Levin. She said, look, I've got a firsthand witness from Dominion, or I think it's Smartmatic, actually. I mean, the two have worked together on this, both of them producing voting equipment, electronic voting equipment. So Powell is on Mark Levin's show last night. She's talking about this firsthand witness. She's got a sworn affidavit, a sworn testimony from this individual, whoever he is, that was there at the beginning, at the creation of a system that was specifically used to falsify election results for Hugo Chavez and Maduro down in Venezuela. It was used for this purpose. And this is a witness who, under the threat of perjury, gave sworn testimony. And the media, not even interested. Not interested at all. He came forward because he said that, I think it was the 2006 election, when it wasn't going the right way for Chavez, everything was shut down. Everything stopped. Chavez just went in there and cut off the internet. And then a few hours later, it's switched back on, and wouldn't you know it, Chavez is way out in front. So when this whistleblower saw what happened on November 3rd in the United States, he thought, wait a second, hang on a minute, it's the same thing, it's history repeating itself. Here's Sidney Powell last night on Lou Dobbs' show, clip one.
I've just gotten some stunning evidence from a firsthand witness, a high-ranking military officer who was present when Smartmatic was designed in a way that the, and I'm going to just read you some of these statements, if you don't mind, so I get them exactly
sure.
Right, from the affidavit. Designed in a way that the system could change the vote of each voter without being detected.
Okay, it was designed in this way, according to this guy who's an insider, or was. Perhaps we'll learn more about him later. She went on to say this, clip two.
So here's the other kicker. When the Smartmatic machines are, when somebody's losing, like, for example, when Maduro and his supporters realized the size of the other guy's lead, they were worried that they were in crisis mode and would lose the election. The Smartmatic machines used for voting in each state were connected to the internet, reported their information over the internet to the Caracas Control Center real time, so the decision was made to reset the entire system. Maduro's and his supporters ordered the network controllers to take the internet itself offline in practically all parts in Venezuela to change the results. It took the voting operators approximately 2 hours to make the adjustments in the vote from Radonsky to Maduro. Then when they turned the internet back on and the online reporting was up and running again, they checked each screen state by state to be certain they could see each vote was changed in favor of Maduro.
That's her reading from an affidavit. This guy describing how it was done previously. Shut things down for a couple of hours, then come back online, and boom, you're ready to go. You just have to reset things a little bit. You have to change the algorithm just a little bit. If you find out that you're losing by a lot, then you can go back in there and redo it. She's talking about someone from Smartmatic. It's that group, and of course, Dominion. This is an article from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Mark Neese, who writes on voter fraud and the like, but it's from July 30th, 2019, so it's about a year and a half old. But it says here, the Colorado-based company will supply the state, it's speaking of Dominion, the Colorado-based company will supply the state with 30,000 touchscreen voting machines capable of printing paper ballots. So last summer, Georgia decided to revamp its voting system, and it hired Dominion. This was a $107 million contract. Tens of millions. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars at play. It says here, the controversial technology is expected to bring court challenges. So this is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I don't know anything about this author, but I'm sure that's a liberal newspaper. But it's controversial, they said last year, before any of this, this year. It says Georgia officials awarded the contract for 30,000 new voting machines to Dominion Voting on Monday, scrapping the state's 17-year-old electronic voting equipment and replacing it with touchscreens that print out paper ballots. So as I say, it was a $107 million contract. Okay, and Georgia, of course, is right in the midst of a recount. And they also shut everything down that night, November the 3rd, I guess early in the hours of November 4th. They shut it down. There was all that funny business in Atlanta. They said they had a pipe burst and so on, so they had to evacuate and come back later and count. This author here says, election officials now must quickly install the voting technology before its first statewide test in the March 24 presidential preference primary. The new voting system is expected to be quickly challenged in court by voters who say it remains vulnerable to hacking and tampering despite the addition of paper ballots. Now, you heard about those who protested some of this just last year. Four prominent Democrats. This is in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It says here, Dominion has connections as well. One of Dominion's lobbyists, Jared Thomas, has worked on Kemp's political campaigns. That would be Governor Kemp. He's a Republican. Some would say in name only. It says, one of the lobbyists for Dominion, keep in mind, this was a $107 million contract. One of the lobbyists worked on Kemp's political campaign since he first won a state Senate seat in 2002. He also worked previously for Kemp in the Secretary of State's office. It says another Dominion lobbyist, Barry Heron, was vice president of DeWald Election Systems, or Diebold Election Systems, the company that originally sold Georgia its electronic voting machines in 2002. It says here, finally, again, this is Mark Neese at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It says, critics of these new voting machines, called ballot marking devices, said they fail to guarantee that votes are counted correctly. They prefer paper ballots filled out with a pen, not a computer printer. Voter intent, it says, is best captured by a person marking on paper who they want to vote for. That's coming from a concerned Atlanta voter. A person, think of that, voting on a piece of paper, marking who they vote for. Well, we're far beyond that. Now you've got ballots coming in from anywhere, out of state, in the dead of night. And then all of these machines that are vulnerable to computer hacking. Now, in last night's Trumpet Brief, I talked about Smartmatic and its London holding company, this London-based operation. Here's London again, factoring in, just like it did in the Russia collusion hoax. The holding company here, it's headed up by this guy, Lord Mark Malik Brown. He used to be a politician from the Labour Party, and he's got all of these strong connections to the far-left billionaire George Soros. Someone who despises President Trump and would love to destroy the Trump presidency. Okay, so you have to connect some of the dots here. But are these stories, any of them, are these stories that the media are even remotely interested in? Will they look into this? Far from it. President Trump, as I said yesterday, he tweeted out that message on Thursday about Dominion and all of the millions of votes that swapped or were deleted. And it's just been put in the category of conspiracy theories. As I said to you yesterday, if you look up, you know, the Dominion voter system or voting system on Wikipedia, instead of reading about the history of this company, it's supposed to be an encyclopedia. I don't think a very reputable one, but here it's supposed to tell you about Dominion, right? No, now they've scrubbed that. Now it tells you about the conspiracy theories. You get a little introductory paragraph, and then the very next paragraph on Wikipedia about Dominion. It says here, Dominion was the subject of a hoax amplified by followers of the far-right QAnon conspiracy theory and later spread by One America News Network, President Donald Trump, and Trump's surrogates and supporters. It says they alleged that the company's voting machines had been compromised, resulting in millions of votes for Trump being deleted or switched. And it goes on to say that this has been thoroughly debunked. This is Wikipedia. An encyclopedia, okay? They've just scrubbed it. There was a report today. Since Election Day, over 100 of 243 Dominion employees on LinkedIn have deleted their profiles. This is straight out of George Orwell's book, 1984. If it's history that's going to make the company look bad, or if it's history that's going to make certain individuals like Sidney Powell a little bit curious, a little bit suspicious perhaps, well, let's just delete it. Sidney Powell said in one of her interviews yesterday that articles are missing now. Just articles, even. And we already know about the algorithms at Google and YouTube and such. They will bury things. Sam tells me all the time, if you go back a few years, things that you clearly remember from back a few years, and you want to put together, let's say, a montage from early on in the Obama presidency, if they're comments that make him look bad, you wouldn't be surprised. It gets buried. And they probably have it far, way, way far down there so that they can claim, look, it's there. It's there somewhere. We're not trying to delete it. They are trying to delete it. This is the way the devil operates. And as I said to you yesterday, it's almost happening in real time. There's Scott Pelley nodding in agreement. Oh, yes, maybe you were just too nice. Maybe you were too nice. Because he has been silent about Donald Trump for 4 years. That's what we learned on Sunday night. In that trumpet brief, I talked about Smartmatic here in North America. It's headed up by Peter Neffinger. He was Barack Obama's Transportation Security Administration chief, appointed by Obama in 2015. Okay, and then he's out the door as soon as Trump comes in on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017. He's heading up Smartmatic, all of this voting equipment. And then as soon as the media declare Joe Biden to be president, well, wouldn't you know it, Peter Neffinger, he joins Joe Biden's president-elect team. Now, that doesn't make anybody at CNN curious or suspicious. That's just normal. This is just normal behavior. Nothing to worry about here. Well, now he's with Joe Biden. How about that? You think the media are going to be curious about any of this? There's others, too. This Eric Coomer, a real radical. He was high up, one of the higher ups at Dominion. And Facebook and the others, they have scrubbed his history with radicalism, Antifa and such, just like they did in that newsbuster montage I gave to you. You notice they said Trump, he's lying, he's this. The supporters came out because of that. There were clashes. Not once did they mention Antifa. Not once did they mention Black Lives Matter. Well, Eric Coomer's got all these connections to those radical Marxist groups. And he was a higher up at Dominion, if you can believe it. And now, well, so much of that history, it's just vanished. It's vanished from the internet. Imagine that. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a few closing remarks. And if I have some time, maybe even some listener feedback as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
There's a story at Breitbart that talks about the Democrats and the House seats that they lost in the election on November the 3rd. And the headline is, Dems had to have the smallest majority in the House since World War II. They were supposed to win another 10 or 15 seats. I think Fox News projected that they were going to win 6 or 7, just an hour or two into election night. And it was the opposite. Listen to the Republican minority leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy. This is clip 14.
They said in the House, Republicans would lose 15 to 20 seats. Every pollster said that. Speaker Pelosi and Steny Hoyer. They also said we would lose the Senate and we would lose legislatures as well. What happened? We didn't lose one incumbent. We won every seat except one open. We won 28 of the 29 most competitive seats that Nate Silver laid out there. We are gaining in less than 21,000 votes away. We didn't lose the Senate. We didn't lose one control of any legislature. Actually, Republicans gained 3 new legislatures of control of. And we've had the most competitive presidential race in our modern history. That's why every vote should be counted.
So gains all across the board, except for the office of president. As the Federalist said in a headline, we're supposed to believe the GOP had a great election night, except for president. Isn't that amazing? Listen to Democrat strategist David Axelrod also commenting on the red wave. This is clip 15.
It has to be said that he brought people out in ways that weren't expected yesterday. And Republicans, Democrats went into yesterday's election expecting to add a dozen seats in the U.S. House. They have lost seats, and it's not clear just yet how many. They went into the election expecting and hoping to take control of the U.S. Senate. That is not going to happen. They were hoping to take over legislative chambers in this very important year because reapportionment is coming up.
Right.
There were half a dozen that were in their sights. They won none of them. And so Trump had a real impact.
Except on the vote for president. Had a real impact. This is from National Life. It says GOP makes huge gains in state legislatures running on Trumpism. It says, in one of the positive stories about this election, Republicans picked up significant gains in many state legislatures. This comes as the GOP appears to have held the Senate and achieved additional numbers in the U.S. House. Democrats, after spending hundreds of millions of dollars gleaned from millionaire and billionaire ideologues within their fold, failed to flip a single state House chamber in its favor. As it is, they lost 2 or 3, like you heard from Kevin McCarthy. These are the state governments. And they really had a lot riding on this because when you complete a 10-year cycle, you get the new census, then you get to sort of redraw the boundaries in all these voting districts. And the Democrats wanted to get control so that they could continue with their voting fraud strategies to redraw things in their favor to make it easier to get more Democrats in there. It didn't work out so well for them. It says it was a huge night for state Republicans, said David Abrams, Deputy Executive Director of the Republican State Leadership Committee. Talks about all the money. I think the Democrats spent something like $7 billion total on this election. They spent $107 million in South Carolina alone just to try to take down Lindsey Graham. All this money just flowing. And of course, no cheating. No one would ever cheat. That's what we're supposed to believe. This article says the failure to achieve was so considerable it prompted a Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee spokeswoman to observe, it's clear that Trump isn't an anchor for the Republican legislative candidates. He's a buoy. He's a buoy. They were riding the Trump wave through this election. He overperformed media expectations, Democrat and Republican expectations, and lifted legislative candidates with him. He lifted everyone up. He lifted everyone up in the Republican Party, except for himself. That's what the media would have us to believe. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us at td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.